Who do you want to be? And what is the impact that you want to have? I want you to explore why. Bring it on all day.
Gets you going. Hey, this is John Strand. Welcome to the first episode of Improve This, powered by Lock and Ladder. We are glad you're here. I got to give a shout out to my best friend, Buffalo Trucker, Buff Trucker, who wrote that lovely little intro. We're going to drop you into a live sales meeting that has everything to do with sales and nothing to do with sales. Our company's very focused on how do we become better humans? And today we're going to talk about expecting excellence for yourself as well as other people. And towards the end, we're going to jump into the practical application of how to implement that expectation into your life. Hope you enjoy. As I was asking myself, do I want to get back into home improvements? Is this something I really want to do? Why am I getting into this? I had to really wrestle with that question. Why? Why are we doing this? Why do I want to do this? And for me, the biggest thing that I saw was the opportunity for a large scale impact. And I think if you look at why Lock and Ladder does what it does, it can be boiled down to that one word, impact, and a desire for impact. First and foremost, to impact our people. I think that's one of the most exciting things for what we're about to build and what we are already building is that cultural element. I mean, when you're in a sales culture and when you're able to train it well and you're able to teach values and you're able to teach skills that absolutely change somebody's life forever, it's a powerful thing. If impact is your why, if that's the reason you're doing what you're doing, well, then a lot of choices just fall into line. So product offerings, our products are almost chosen for us because we're going to put products in that have a long-term lasting impact on our communities. We're going to put products in that have a long-term lasting impact on the environment and not in a small way. And that's exciting. And then I think there's a larger impact where as we're able to give and back and follow our hearts, I think there's going to be a cultural impact from a community standpoint. And I'm excited to explore and just see where it all goes. But if impact is the goal, then your core values fall in line also. And our top core value is probably expect excellence. Because I really think probably all the rest of them can fall in line underneath this. And that expectation of excellence is at the heart and soul of what we do. It has to be, otherwise we are not going to have the impact that we want to have. So let's talk about excellence. And I want to talk about it in the Greek concept, go back to a concept called arete. And arete basically equals excellence. It's excellence of any kind. And this was of the highest virtues and principles in Greek society, to the point that Homer wrote about arete in the Odyssey. Aristotle wrote about it in Ethics. Plato wrote about it in the Allegory of the Cave. So you've got some of the greatest minds, the biggest thinkers of Greek society are all fascinated and obsessed with this concept of arete. Here's the Wikipedia definition: the act of living up to one's full potential. The act of living up to one's full potential. A person of arete is of the highest effectiveness. They use all of their faculties, strength, bravery, and wit to achieve real results. It also talks about excellence in moral virtue and excellence as a virtue. So it's a pretty advanced concept. And as I dug into the etymology behind the word excellence or excellent, there are some interesting things I found. First off, if you look at the standard definition the dictionary has, so excellent would be an adjective. It's a descriptor. So having surpassed is number one. Two, of higher or the highest quality. The third definition is exceptionally good of its kind. And four is superior in any kind or degree. But if you dig deeper into the Latin, to the roots of it, the Latin is excellens, which means elevated or exalted. And I thought that's an interesting concept, elevated or exalted. And then that actually stemmed from exhalo, which was a verb. And as I was researching this, it was like midnight on Thursday, I had this huge aha moment. I got so excited. Exhalo, and it means to raise up or to elevate. And I don't think we think of excellence as a verb, but I love the idea of excellence having action attached to it. For me, it brought a lot more life to the concept, where this is a way of being. And that's what I love about this arete concept, the act of living up to one's full potential. And I'm obsessed with that because when you're excellent, when you live up to your full potential, that is when all kinds of incredible things start happening to you. That is where the deepest fulfillment will happen. That is where the richest success will happen. That is where the biggest rewards will happen. When you are living a life of excellence, all kinds of good things follow that. Now, that is, I want to make a distinction. That is not the same as being a perfectionist or even chasing perfection or trying to be perfect. I was very much a perfectionist as a kid. By the time I was in second grade, I was smart enough to get into the challenge classes and then quickly demoted back into normal classes because I was such a perfectionist that I couldn't do the challenge work. I got all kinds of anxiety and I freaked out and stressed out. And I was fortunate between my mom and one of my other friend's moms that helped identify this and said, hey, we're going to help lighten you up and not be so high strung and stressed out. So I think perfectionism breeds sort of an anxiety and it actually cripples your work because there's too much fear involved. There's too much focus on the minutiae and it doesn't allow for creativity. It doesn't allow for freedom. Excellence on the other side allows for freedom. And I think one of the best quotes that illustrates sort of the process is from Pat Riley, a legendary basketball coach. Excellence is the gradual result of always striving to do better. I just wanted to write down. Excellence is the gradual result of always striving to do better. And there's a lot of freedom in that because if you're always striving to do better, it's obviously okay that you're not starting out excellent, but you're pursuing excellence. I've learned probably the most about this in sports pursuits, where I came late to soccer, didn't start playing to soccer till eighth grade, and I was determined to get as good as I possibly could get at soccer, so I put in the time, I put in the work, I did the drills, of course I had a lot of fun doing it. Some days were up, some days were down, you know, had the successes, failures, but my goal, even though I knew I had started way late in the game, was I wanted to play college soccer and accomplish that goal and got to play at a high level in college sports. And it was only because I was trying to get as good as I possibly could get. I was focused on that gradual improvement. Skiing has very much been the same way, where it's an incredibly enjoyable process. Skiing's interesting because it's not necessarily a competition. I didn't grow up in Colorado, so I wasn't taking part in ski competitions. It was more of a competition with myself, and I wanted to get as good as I could possibly get at skiing. I still, to this day, operate this way, where I'm still trying to get better on skis. And what I found is as I've pursued excellence in skiing and done the work and put in the drills and tried to learn and gotten lessons, it's opened up the mountain to me in ways I never could have imagined. Skiing is by far my favorite thing to do, and it's total freedom. I can go anywhere, I can play, I can create. You get to a point where you don't even have to think about what you're doing. You just, you do, and I probably feel the most connected to nature and the most connected to my body and the most free in my body when I'm skiing. And it's because of that pursuit of excellence. I wanted to be an expert. When you pursue excellence in business, the other side of that is freedom and fulfillment. I started out, you know, as an entry-level door knocker, knocked doors for a year and a half, was terrible at it when I started. Sounded totally canned and fake, but I wanted to get better. I wanted to be excellent. So I put the time in and I would practice in the mirror and I would practice on my friends. And every door I hit, I was trying to get better and analyze and be self-aware. What could I have done better? And I would worked on mastering rebuttals. I worked on mastering the art of the icebreaker, mastering actually connecting with people, and then went even further to really focus on those people and how can I be more empathetic and address their concerns and their needs. And as a result, I became excellent at hitting doors. What follows that is you get promoted. So then I'm in a closing role in the same story. I paid my dues, put the time in, and I pursued excellence. I was obsessed with being as good as I could possibly get. So it's a very natural expression to make sure I said the pitch as many times as I could before I went into a home, that I listened to sales coaching and sales training, that I learned rebuttals, I learned sales techniques. I cozied up to anybody that was good at sales and would pick their brain and take their, I was a sponge, an absolute, would just absorb because I wanted to be excellent for myself. And the other side of that was setting records and then being put in a training position. And I had to almost restart the process because I was an okay trainer, not a great trainer. And I remember seeing other people that were better at sales training than I was, that gave better feedback, better notes, better critiques. And I realized I have to get better here. So I did that and became one of the best at getting nuances and being able to pull the best out of people, being able to analyze someone's cadence, rhythm, pacing, inflection, the art of the dramatic pause. Are they connecting? Are they sending good honest signals? And the result of that was we built a national company. And with that came a lot of financial freedom, ultimately selling that company. Again, it was all always just about being as good as I could possibly get at being excellent. And all those results followed. Jim Collins, I got to hear him speak. He wrote the book From Good to Great. I don't really remember anything he said at his presentation other than this one story. And it stuck with me. Because I heard this probably 20 years ago, and I still haven't read the book. I probably should do that. But it stuck with me. The premise of Good to Great is Jim Collins interviews a lot of Fortune 500 companies, and he analyzes the good ones from the great ones. And one of the CEOs that was in the great category was the classic story, started in the mail room, worked his way all the way to the top. And Jim asked him, "What's your secret?" And the CEO said, "You know, I was never the smartest. I was never the most talented. I was never the best salesperson or the best looking, but I always tried to be the best person for that job. I was always trying to get better. I was always trying to improve." And that in my early 20s stuck with me. And I never forgot that story. And it was almost instantly life-changing. I realized I am going to always be getting better. If you look at excellence as a virtue, excellence is this arete concept of living up to your full potential at the highest effectiveness as an action. I want to be an excellent father. I want to be an excellent husband. I want to constantly be getting better at that. And I can tell you right now, by doing the work and paying attention and taking time to think and reflect, I'm a much better father than I was 5 years ago. Or 2 years ago. And I for sure don't get that one perfect. And I for sure still have a lot of room to grow. But I also, because of that pursuit, am having moments with my family that are truly magical, that are truly fulfilling, where I'm more present for my kids because I'm focused on being an excellent father. More present for my wife because I'm focused on being an excellent husband. I have a long way to go there. It's probably a lifelong pursuit, and it should be. Since we're talking about the Greeks, Aristotle says this: moral excellence comes about as a result of habit. We become just by doing acts, temperate by doing acts, brave by doing acts. I'll read that again. Moral excellence comes about as a result of habit. We become just by doing acts, temperate by doing acts, and brave by doing acts. So it's a process. It's a lifelong pursuit. And I want to encourage you to think about, who do you want to be? And what is the impact that you want to have? I want you to explore why. So look at, what is the impact you want to have, and who do you want to be? And then explore why. Why? Why do you want to have that impact? Why do you want to be excellent? Who do you want to be excellent for? Take some time to meditate, to get quiet, to actually think on these things. This is important. It is important to be critical about these things. This can revolutionize your life and your relationships. You know, when it comes to the sales environment, I like to ask the question, you know, who wants to have a laggard on the sales team or the sports team? Definitely, definitely not on the sports team. And I would argue definitely not on the sales team. We're all going to have different levels of talent, but nobody wants the laggard. They don't want them on the team. In sports, it'll kill you, because the competition will exploit that. In sales, it hurts the company. It hurts the individuals, because too many people will be counting on excellence. In your personal life, it will hurt relationships. And I think this is why the Greeks and the principle of arete thought it was so important to have this full encompassing ideal. A person of arete is the highest effectiveness. They use all of their faculties, their strength, their bravery, and wit to achieve real results. And we're talking about impact. Real results equal impact. Conviction is useless unless conducted into action. That's Thomas Carlyle, the Scottish philosopher. Conviction is useless unless conducted into action. So let's talk about how to put this into action. A couple tips I have. One, I think it starts in the mind. You have to commit. You have to commit to excellence and decide, that's who I want to be. Number two, I think there has to be a rejection of complacency. I've seen this happen too many times where we hire an entry-level sales guy, they get really good, they make some money, they get promoted, they're learning, just absorbing a ton of information, industry knowledge, sales knowledge, they get promoted to closer, they're learning a ton, and then they plateau at closing level. And then it's like they get comfortable, they're good at sales, they're making good money, and then it's like they stop reading books, they stop researching the industry, they stop researching competitors, there's a complacency that comes, and they don't actually get better. And so they stay great salespeople, but they don't become great leaders. And they don't become incredible managers. And I'll see this, because then eventually they'll leave, they'll get bored, they'll want a different pursuit, and they'll take a lateral move, or they'll take a step down just to change up the scenery. If people leave our company, I want it to be because they went out and started their own thing, or they went and they took a higher level job, or they're pursuing something else that brings them great fulfillment, but it's definitely a step forward, not a lateral movement, not a step backwards. And that happens when you chase excellence, when you're committed to it, when you're constantly trying to grow. Surround yourself with excellent people. This might be one of the most important things you can do. If you want to live a life of excellence, if you want to embrace the ideals of arete, surround yourself with excellent people. There's the adage of, you are your top five closest friends. If your top five closest friends aren't amazing, maybe try to find another friend who is excellent. Maybe that one person can start to rub off on you, but I can tell you from experience, I've got some incredible people in my life close to me, and they absolutely shape my thinking. They absolutely rub off on me. I have a buddy who's a Green Beret, who's done 3 tours, and just by who he is, it's impacted my life. I called him kind of in a frenzy about some events last week, and he did not give me any advice at all, but just by who he is, it brought more clarity. Just based on his response, it put things in perspective. But this is somebody who pursues excellence and honor and integrity in every single thing they do. And so even the way he engaged in conversation had honor and integrity, and it challenged me. My cousin owns a very large trucking company. And every time I hang out with him, I'm encouraged. Every time he talks to me about the way he thinks and the way he views the world and the way he responds to problems, the way he interprets problems, it challenges my thinking and makes me realize I need to think bigger. My brother-in-law owns an insurance brokerage. His attitude towards life and having fun and enjoying life has challenged my thinking, has made me feel more calm in times of storms. His generosity and my cousin's generosity have challenged my own generosity. I have another cousin, same thing. He's a venture capitalist. Very successful, very smart. He challenges me. His generosity has also made me want to be more generous. It's a funny common thread with these guys. So the people you surround yourself with will absolutely impact you, and they can inspire you or they can pull you down. And the easiest metaphor I can give you of this is just, this one's been around for a while, but stand on a chair and try to pull one of your friends up to that level with you. Just pull them up to where you're standing. It does not matter how strong you are not going to be able to pull them up. But watch how easy, if that same friend, who maybe they're not as strong as you, if they give you a good yank on the arm, you're coming down. And so surround yourself with people that sharpen you. And those people around you will shape the way you think. And they will have an impact on this pursuit of excellence. Last thing I'm going to leave you with on how, just some practical application, is take inventory on what you're listening to or what you're reading. There's a million distractions. We are almost designed now to go numb, to tune out, not to listen, to just get stuck on endless scroll or endless entertainment. And there is definitely a time and place for checking out. And there are days where all I want to do is watch a couple shows or scroll for 30 minutes or an hour. And that's perfectly fine because it's nice to just check out sometimes. But I want to encourage you, if you want to lead an excellent life, then it's going to take being intentional about what you're putting in your mind. And if you're reading books from excellent people or listening to books or watching YouTube from stuff that is encouraging, that inspires you, that challenges you, that makes you think better, that will absolutely have an impact. I want to leave you with this quote from Steve Jobs: be a yardstick of quality. Some people aren't used to an environment where excellence is expected. I love that. Be a yardstick of quality. So at Lock and Ladder, this is in our DNA. Why? Because if we're going to have impact, if we're going to achieve real results, then we have to expect excellence. Hope that meeting was encouraging to you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you'll join us next week where we're going to talk about thinking big and thinking better, and how to further our imagination, our creativity, and the way we look at the world. Till then, I hope you have an excellent week. We'll see you next time on Improve This. Bring it on all day.